Listen now as we hear a message about the third person of the Godhead. He is not often talked about. Of course, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. This is the Chapel Platform originating from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Dr. Bob Jones III gave the introduction. Our speaker is an evangelist from Rocky Mount, North Carolina, Dr. Phil Schuler. He gave this message at chapel on Tuesday, May 5th, 1987. Sometimes the Holy Spirit's being and work is a mystery to Christians. Yet, as He works in our lives, He guides us in God's will. His work is very prevalent, although we may not notice it. Dr. Schuler uses as his text the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. This message of surrendered servanthood is titled, The Personality and Truth of the Holy Spirit.
Let me just say a couple of things before introducing Dr. Phil Schuler, who is such a regular feature around here that I guess he needs no introduction, a member of the Board of Trustees, graduate. Wonderful evangelist, average singer, has a great wife that is an outstanding piano player and keeps him on the straight and narrow path. Now, I guess that's about all I need to say about him. I've introduced him before I intended to, but he's going to come and preach for us in just a moment. Let me just say a word. The devil is at work, as I've never seen him at work in among Christian people, and some who call themselves Christians that I have to wonder about. But he's on a rampage. And the whole foundations are being shaken. And I just want to urge you to be stable and steady and confident and trusting the Lord and understanding of the will of God and the Word of God so that you don't get your own foundation shaken. All right, Dr. Schuler, at least come preach to us.
John 15. Let's go back to 14. We'll take our text out of the 16th verse of chapter 14. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not. Neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. This is the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Notice, please, He ends by saying, He shall be, future tense, in you. The difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament was the Holy Spirit came upon the men in the Old Testament. The Spirit of God indwells men in the New Testament. Holy God, and we ask Thy blessing now upon this, the preaching of Thy word, that it shall not return unto Thee void, but accomplish its purpose, we pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. I'd like to teach this morning a little bit on the personality and the truth of the Holy Spirit. We are hearing a lot about His office work in churches over the country. The charismatics push it very big. But I'd like to get into the truth on it for just a moment. And in doing so, we just like to study a little bit in God's Word concerning the Holy Spirit. When my brother Jack was saved at Bob Jones College years ago when it was over in Cleveland, Jack came home having studied all summer, and the next year he studied in the school, came home the second summer and held revival meetings in the Los Angeles area. While he was there, he preached one Wednesday evening for my father in his downtown church that had a large church in Los Angeles. And Jack got up and he taught on the personality of the Holy Spirit. Now, we had a lady there by the name of Mrs. Lightfoot. Mrs. Lightfoot was a dear, godly woman. If ever there was a sanctified woman on the face of this earth, it was Mrs. Lightfoot. She mothered all of my daddy's kids. She hovered over them and tried to protect them with love and graciousness. But Mrs. Lightfoot, when she got mad. Now, for sanctification, that's hard to do. But she'd get mad. And Jack preached on the truth about the Holy Spirit and the personality of the Holy Spirit. She came up afterwards, and I was standing with Jack, and she shook her finger in his face. And she said, Jack Schuler, how dare you speak on that subject? Why, you spoke concerning the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is so aloof and so far above us, we can't even touch Him with our tongue. It's sacrilegious to even speak His name, she said. And Jack, in a way that you have to understand in our family, we just love Mrs. Lightfoot. He just reached out and put his arm around her and gave her a squeeze. And he said, "Why, honey, you're talking about the best friend I have." And I've never forgotten that little statement. "You're talking about the best friend I have." Let's look at him for just a moment, please. First, the Holy Spirit is not an it. If you'll mark that in your mind, and I know I don't have to teach you this, but keep that in your mind all the time, because you'll find false sects and groups using the term it. When it hits you, you'll know it. Well, that happens when a Mack truck hits you. But the Holy Spirit is not an it. It is a doctrine of a personality when we speak of the Holy Spirit. He is a personality just like the Father is a personality and the Son is a personality. Second thing is, and by the way, remember please, we're speaking about the third part of the Trinity. The second thing is, He indwells every believer at salvation. You will never have more of the Holy Spirit at any time in your life than you have when you're saved. He will have more of you as you live for the Lord and understand His Lordship. You will have more of a satisfaction, more of peace and more of comfort from Him. But you will never have more of Him. Now, His name, Comforter, here is from the term Parakletos. And it comes from the word parakaleo. Now, if you are wondering about my ability with the Greek, just talk to Dr. Neal and he'll assure you that I certainly matriculated 2 years through his class and got the most honest D he ever gave. I earned every bit of that D. All right. Parakletos. We get our word parallel from the word para, P-A-R-A, parallel. Kletos, we get our term, the called one. Or the one call. So He is the one call to parallel us. We term Him as our guide. He's our guide in this life. I'd like to look at that same word, because the Greek, you see, is a very elastic language, whereas our English is a very brittle language. Let's look at the Greek word and see what other terms it means. First, the Comforter. Let's look at that for a moment. Have you ever used Him as the Comforter? Have you ever had need to use Him as the Comforter? My brother Dick died before I was ever born. Mom and Dad had 9 children. One of them was a stillborn, the other was Dick. Dick was a beautiful boy. He was a handsome boy, kind of a ruddish in complexion. And Dick was my dad's pride and joy. When he was about 9 months of age, he got whooping cough. And back in those days, that was a very, very bad disease. And he died in my father's arms. I remember I had whooping cough. My mama told me this many times. And she was so afraid that I would die because of Dick's death that she was up with me for 3 nights and 3 days without a moment's rest, hardly. And the fourth night, she could not make it. She just couldn't make it. And I began to hoop and hoop and hoop. And Mother punched Daddy and said, "Daddy, Daddy." He what is it, Mother? He always woke up like he was alert, you know. "Yes, what is it?" Says, "I can't get to that bathroom. I'm so tired. I've got to give Phil his medicine. You're going to have to do it for me." He said, "Why, Mother, that's what I'm here for. I'm the other half of this gang, you know." He said, "Certainly I'll do it for you. Where is it?" He says, "Top chiffonier up there. There's a big kind of a purple bottle. Give him a tablespoon." So Dad got up and he walked in just as chirpers could be and opened up the cabinet and reached up and got the bottle and he poured a tablespoon. He took it himself and went back to bed. And the mother had to get up and do it to me. But Dickie died in my father's arms. Now, I was not here when that happened, but my brothers told me what happened. Dad held the funeral. And Dad got through the funeral. Now, it's very difficult to hold a funeral on your own child, especially when you're so enamored with him. It's like David with that little child that passed away with Bathsheba. It's a very difficult thing. It tears your heart out. And Dad had just about gotten through when Mother, who was sitting over here to the side, put her head back. Now, Mother never had a tear in her eye. She put her head back, and with that beautiful Irish voice, she began to sing, "When He cometh to make up His jewels, all His jewels, precious jewels, His love and His own, like the stars of the morning, His bright crown adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, bright gems for His crown. Little children that make up His jewels. And by that time, Dad was boo-hooing, and all of them were boo-hooing. Mother, the only one dry-eyed there. Going back from the graveside, Daddy turned around and said, Nell, what got into you to do a thing like that? You knew I was having a hard time. Why did you do that? And here's what Mother said. Now, you got to understand what the Comforter does. Mother said, Bob, I know God does not reveal Himself in dreams and visions anymore. But I tell you, as I'm sitting here, God just seemed to speak to me and say, Nell, you know why I took that little boy? Because I knew he'd be the only one that wouldn't accept Christ as his Savior. And I want the family to have an unbroken circle. Now that's comfort. That's comfort. And many times you'll have to lean upon Him. When some of you have your mothers and your fathers die, you're going to need the Comforter. That's His office, the Comforter. But the same office is also given to the teacher. Same name. It could easily be when the teacher is come. Now we see this over in verse 26, if you look at that for just a moment. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Now listen, some of you have been wondering how all those disciples could remember everything that Jesus did and put it down so well. We know it was under the influence of the Holy Spirit, but get this last phrase. And shall bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now the teacher, as you know, teaches over the long haul. They have you for 4 years. And they teach you a little here, and teach you a little there, and teach you a little there, and teach you a little there. And they do precept upon precept, and they keep asking questions to get answers. I used to say when I was in grade school, my teachers were the dumbest in the world. They just kept asking me questions for years and years. And I discovered they wanted answers. See, I learned that. And the more I gave them answers, the more I learned some things. Now, He is here to teach you. He will teach you over a period of time many, many things that you never thought you could ever learn. He will put them in remembrance. He will lay them back there so that when you need them, you will have them. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever had this experience, but how many of you have ever been confronted by a person that needed Christ or a Christian that had a problem and came to you and asked you for an answer and suddenly verses you'd forgotten long ago began to flip up in that IBM mind of yours. And you begin to say, well, this and this and this. Oh, well, thank you very much. God bless you. I appreciated that. And you say, now, how did I learn that? The teacher did that. Over the long haul, they kept applying until you learned those things. But the same word, parakaleo, parakletos, also means counselor. Counselor. Now, the difference between a teacher and a counselor is that a teacher over the long haul teaches you. A counselor does it on the spur of the moment. You get that immediately, the counselor. My father, and I'm sure some of you have read about him or heard about him. My father was named Fighting Bob Schuller. Note, by the way, no relation whatsoever to the pastor of the First Church of the Pigeon Drop. My father had a large church down in Los Angeles, and he ran the devil to death down there. Dad was always after crime and corruption wherever he found it. And he found it early in his ministry in Amy Semple McPherson. Now, Amy Semple McPherson was the original Catherine Kuhlman. I mean, she was a top-notch actress. She was some gal. She was a good looker. She had the best stage in all of Hollywood. I don't know whether the Joneses know this or not, but MGM went down and borrowed her stage to make their stage. She had a stage, and she could put on productions, and she would act out the things of Christ, and she was some gal, but she was as crooked as a dog's hind leg. And Dad knew it. She was a drunk, and she had a man on the side, and so forth and so on. Dad just kept after her and kept after her until finally he put her out of business. She went into San Francisco, and she died supposedly of an overdose, and they found out later it was an alcoholism. But Dad just kept after that woman. Somebody said, well, why don't you leave her alone? She's a preacher. Dad said, she can't be a pastor. She's not the husband of one wife. He'd go after her. One time my dad, now understand, Dad had a church seat of 3,400 people, never without an empty seat, never with an empty seat. Dad, in the afternoons on Sunday, every other week, would have what he called a political rally. And in the political rally, he could do what he wanted to. He could talk on politics or talk on anybody and attack what he wanted to attack. He did not preach the gospel in the political rally. He had announced he was going to put Amy Semple McPherson out of business. Come and see it. And the place was jammed and packed. Now, we have right next to us there what was then called Pershing Square. Pershing Square is now a big parking lot. It's all prettied up. But back in those days, that was a derelict block. It had a square block of a park there, and all the nuts in the country hung out there. It was a terrible place, and we usually get about 8 or 10 from Pershing Square come over. So because they would sometimes get boisterous, Dad had 2 bouncers in the church. Now, these had usher's ribbons on, but they were bouncers that he led to the Lord out of saloons. And they could pretty well take care of any problem. And whenever Dad had a problem, Dad would nod his head toward the problem, and they'd grease the steps with the guy, see? So this is the way Dad handled it. Well, I was in the church. I remember standing there when the woman came in. A woman came in dressed in an old flour sack type dress. She had ruddy legs. She had little, looked like little red dots, like she'd been sleeping with chiggers, you know, all over her legs. And then she had a face that was ruddy. I found out later she was a character actress from Hollywood that Amy Semple McPherson hired to put my dad down. And we had seen so many nuts walk in like this that we just, you know, we didn't notice them. And she got in the middle of the auditorium, right about in the middle here, and Dad was up and he had his little black book, had his notes, and he was just giving Amy Semple McPherson all kinds of trouble. And right in the middle of a tirade, she stood up. And she said, Bob, how can you castigate this good woman when you yourself never married that girl back in Grayson County, Virginia, that you had the 2 illegitimate children by? Now, Bob, we didn't blame you because boys will be boys. Why should you blame this good woman? Okay, preacher boys, what are you going to do? You get up and say, you know she's wrong, and right away you smell smoke. Where there's smoke, there's fire. No. Dad stopped right in the middle of it. These 2 ushers were heading for her, and Dad went, and they stopped. And Dad said, woman, I'm trying to recognize you, but I don't recognize you from that old gang back there. But he said, I certainly am indebted to you. He said, ladies and gentlemen, my father told me from the time I was a youngster that I was a German, that my roots were in Germany. But it took this good woman to reveal to me my true nationality. Folks, I'm a full-blooded Philistine. I've just been slayed with the jawbone of an ass. And everybody roared, and they stood up, and you had to know our church. They threw their books in the air, you know, and caught them. And this woman swallowed, and she turned, and she walked out. And Dad hit Amy with the next point. Going home, Mother said, Bob, when did you come up with that? He said, well, God kind of laid it on me. Now, there's your counselor. And you're going to need, young people, you're going to need on the spur of the moment the counseling ability of the Holy Spirit. Hey, receive that and expect that. He's the one that says, turn to the right, turn to the left. Don't do that, do this. He counsels you. That's his business. And that's the business of the Holy Spirit. Watch it. He also is our chastiser. Our chastiser. We don't like that. Same word. Parakletos, our chastiser. My brother, Ed. Ed was going for his first board meeting No, the fourth one in the morning. Fourth board meeting down in the woodshed with my dad. And Dad had him by the ear. This is four times in one morning. This is pretty good. It's a record, I think. And Dad had him by the ear. And Dad said as he went through the door, he said, "Son, this honestly hurts me worse than it hurts you." And Ed said, "Well, take it easy on yourself, Dad." You know, you don't want your dad to be hurt. But if your father loves you, he'll chastise you. "Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and he scourgeth every son that he receives." He does not receive a son unless he scourges him. If you're being chastised, say, "You praise God for that." That's proof positive that you belong to the Lord. But he will not allow you to get away with anything. That's why, now listen to this just a moment. That's why I'm sorry, I might be saying the wrong thing from this pulpit, and it might be not agreed with by the staff here, but I'm not quite sure of the salvation of a person that can do what the baker did. What bakers did. I'm not quite sure of their genuine salvation when they seem to have no remorse over that and no regret over that. Because if you can do those things and have no feeling against those things, then you're of your father the devil. And the things of your father will you do. But if you belong to Jesus Christ, and if you have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is there for the purpose of convicting you and convincing you and chastising you. That's his office. He has to do that. And if that's not being done, brother, I have a question mark. My dad used to say this, "Son, if you want a little rule of thumb as to whether or not a person's saved, if they come to you and say, 'Well, I'm a Christian, but I'm doing this and this and this and this,' say, 'You're sinning, aren't you?' 'Yes, yes, I realize that.' How do you feel about it?" "Oh, man, I feel terrible. I feel awful. I can't sleep at night. I'm having terrible time with the Lord. I can't read my Bible. Nothing seems to be going right." He said, "Son, you're probably talking to a backslidden Christian, invariably. But if that person looks and says, 'Hey, look, everybody's doing it. Everybody, after all, you know, the world's changed since you were a little boy. Why, look, we all have a little sin here and a little sin there. It doesn't bother me,' then you're talking to a lost person. He's not saved. Because the Holy Spirit does not enter into the lost people. And the Holy Spirit is there, honor-bound, to chastise." All right, let's look at one more, and then we're through. Our helper. You can go back and read this in Psalms 33:20. He helps us, the Bible says, our helper. Many times I've just about come to the end of my endurance. Now, right now, this is my 15th week. I haven't had a day off in 15 weeks. I personally thrive on that. When I have time off, I go to pieces. I get colds and flu and can't talk, and get cantankerous, keep packing my stuff, wanting to get going. I thrive on being busy. But there has been some times when I have preached for 5.5, 6 months without a night off. And pretty soon your body just can't take it anymore. And I have gone into the pulpit and I have just leaned back. I learned this from my father, who learned this from a great public speaker, William Jennings Bryan. And probably some of you have heard of him. Where Dad said William Jennings Bryan used to just sit back and put his head back on the wall and close his eyes and sleep for 30 minutes. All in 30 seconds. Just relax. All of a sudden, come awake and he'd be alert. But I just put my head back and I say, "Oh God, I can't do it tonight. I just don't have it. Please, you take over." And he does. And he does. That's the office work of the Holy Spirit. Holy God and Heavenly Father, we ask now that each one of us who name the name of Jesus Christ will claim the promises of the Holy Spirit. Give, we pray, leeway to His office work in our hearts. For we pray it in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
The message you've just heard on the chapel platform can be yours. Please send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina. The zip code is 29614. Please mention the speaker, Dr. Phil Schuler, the message titled, "The Personality and Truth of the Holy Spirit," and also be sure to mention today's date. The chapel platform is sponsored by Bob Jones University.